Good morning, church. I invite you to turn in your Bibles again to Matthew chapter 5 as we continue in our series of studies.
Chapter 8.
Thank you, brother. We continue in our series of studies, Matthew chapter 8.
We will read
together from verse 16 to verse 17. Maybe I should read from verse 14 for the sake of context, but we will look at verse 16 and 17 for this morning. It reads as following. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law laying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. Verse 16. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "He took our illness and bore our diseases." The good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Friends, the title of the sermon this morning, Jesus' Powerful Ministry. We have had the testimony from my wife that she was sick and she got healed. And I know there are so many in the church that have received such blessing from the Lord. We will still hear those testimonies. Because we believe in the ministry, the powerful ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are reading this morning, we look at something similar to that. Jesus' powerful ministry. My aim this morning is not ready to speak about demons and diseases. As you can see where we are, it says Jesus cast out those demons and he healed the people who were sick. But the question that stands before us, what does it mean for Jesus to have power over these demons and sicknesses? In all of Scripture, we see a twofold character of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Firstly, it is to proclaim the good news to the poor. That is to preach the gospel to the lost. Secondly, is to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to set free those oppressed by spirit and demons. Which includes healing the sick. And that is what we have observed as we have been reading from chapter number 4 throughout this Gospel of Matthew. And what is happening here in chapter number 8 through chapter number 9 should not then be surprising to us. We have seen these things before. What we need then to discover is the significance of this power display done by the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is this so much important for us to go through and study and know about?
So
And friends, as we continue with the word of God this morning, please be reminded of Matthew's theme. The theme that we have discussed before, that Matthew is trying to bring out to us, that we may see the King and His kingdom. The King has come and His kingdom is now here.
Mopola he ore sepiwa sa mathe gore a o bontse gore muso wa modimo o teng e bile morena yena o tlile ba le muso wa hae o teng morena ena.
3 weeks ago we have seen the Lord Jesus Christ healing a leper. Two weeks back we have seen him healing a centurion's servant, and last week we have seen him healing Peter's mother-in-law. Indeed, this is the Son of God who has to come into the world and take our infirmities. As he healed that leper, we have realized that Jesus actually has the power to cleanse us from our own spiritual incurable diseases. He's got the power to take away sin. As he healed the servants of that centurion, we realize, we have learned that there is no distance, there is nothing that of human origin or anything that can stop the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he didn't have to go there to heal the person, he just sent a word. Jesus is powerful. Last week we have seen him healing this mother-in-law, but what we have read and studied and gained there is the humility and the care of the Lord Jesus Christ towards those who are in need. So from these two verses before us, verse 16 and 17, I want you to see that Jesus did not even take a long break. Remember now, it says that evening, after healing Peter's mother-in-law, Jesus did not even take a long break. He did not even have quality time to rest.
The Bible
tells us that people began to bring those who were sick, and as they did so, Jesus continued with his ministry of healing, showing us that he is the one who has to come into the world and do the will of his Father. We see here that Jesus indeed came into darkness, the world of sin and darkness. He came to display his power, the power of heaven, among those who need help, either men, women, or children. Anybody who wants help, Jesus has come for them. So that those who dwell in darkness may also see the light of Christ. So friends, this morning what I want us to see is just two things from these two verses. As we consider the powerful ministry of Jesus Christ. But before we look at this, let me just remind you, what actually identifies a powerful ministry, the powerful ministry of Christ, is his preaching. Remember what we have said, after preaching, after he was done in the Sermon on the Mount, a crowd followed him and they said, "Who is this man preaching with great power? He preaches better and higher than the normal preachers of the day."
So what really identifies the powerful minister of Christ is his word. But also his works. That is what we're looking at this morning. His works. His works identify the powerful ministry of Jesus. The first thing I would like us to see from these verses is that Jesus prevailed over demons. That's very important. Jesus prevailed over demons. It reads as following, verse 16. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast those spirits out with a word, and he healed all who were sick. That evening, friends, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons. You can imagine there, friends, the commotion. You can imagine the agency that was there. Imagine the desperation from the people bringing their loved ones. They wanted to see Jesus healing them. Imagine the agents that they had and the prayers that they had in their own minds. But also the demoniacs, those who are possessed. They don't even understand what is happening. But soon and very soon, they will see or they will realize the power and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ on their lives. People came from every corner of Capernaum. They came to experience this power of Jesus. They came to see this authority that Jesus have. Because this Jesus have authority over Satan and the demons. They came to see this practical display of power, this practical display of the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. But above all, the superiority of the kingdom of God over the kingdom of darkness. That should come as a great encouragement to us, friends. It should encourage us that God's kingdom is greater than the kingdom of darkness. It should encourage us that Satan and his demons cannot stand the kingdom of God. He could not stand at that time. He cannot stand today. We realize here, as Jesus heals these people, that actually the mission of the devil is paralyzed in this world. He does not have power over the people of God anymore. That is what we see here. It will be very helpful then for you to be counted among those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because should you belong to any kingdom or should you belong to anybody else, Satan has got power over those things. The only kingdom he does not have power over is the kingdom of God, ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what the Bible says in Luke chapter number 11, verse 22. It tells us there that Jesus is the stronger man who came into the house of a strong man and he bound him.
He
bound him and he took his armor, the armor that he trusted, and spoiled everything. The question is then, friends, how did Jesus cast out these demons? This is very important. Why is it important? We have many people today who claim to be casting out demons. They do very strange and unbiblical things. They pull a lot of crowds. It looks exciting what they are doing. But how did Jesus cast out demons? Because in every case out there, you have people called to the front, and it's like a parade to the front, and commotion, and a little bit of action that is happening in the church. But here we are told, friends, Jesus cast out demons or the spirit with a word of his mouth. The very same Bible tells us then, friend, that if we want to be safe, if we want to be protected against demons and the spirit of this world, we need the word of God. We need to be protected by God's word and God's spirit. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians. You know this word. Let me read them for you. Paul says, if you want to be saved from demon possession and the spirit of this world, we must be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We must put on the whole armor of God. And so doing, we will be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Why must we do all these things? Paul says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against spirituality and principalities and authorities in this world. We wrestle against spiritual forces of evil . We must take the whole armor of God. Only by taking the armor of God we may be able to stand. He says, he continues, you get these words in Galatians chapter 6 from verse, so actually Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 onwards. He continues to say this, stand therefore, having fastened your belt of truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. Only by the shield of faith you will be able to extinguish the darts, the fires of the devil. Take the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Friends, do we see anything here that says we must bind or loose the devil? For you to be free, for your friends to be free, the word of God, the Spirit of Christ. But just to be clear with you, friends, we do believe in the casting out of demons as the church. But the difference is, we believe that it is through the word of God that the demons can be cast out from every person in this world. We believe, friends, that we have been given the only power of God unto salvation, His word. We believe that it is at the reception of the gospel, when somebody receives the gospel, someone is set free and is free indeed. Therefore, then people should believe the gospel and be transformed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's marvelous light. This then tells you that there is no way that a truly born again Christian can be demonized. You have the word of God, you have got the Spirit of Christ in you. There is no way you can be found with demons in you. There is no way that I would call you and say, come, I want to cast out demons from you, if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will suffer demon possession.
How do men say hold to Christ? How do men go with the demons or what is sent to my demon? If I have answered me,
I'm not saying that those who does not believe in Christ have demons in them. But it is easy for the demons to possess a body that is not occupied by the Spirit of Christ. The Bible says in John 8 verse 36, so if the Son set you free, you will be free indeed. We need the Son of God to set us free. The people who came to the Lord Jesus Christ in that evening, bringing their loved ones possessed by the demons, they needed to be set free by the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians 3, verse 17. Colossians 3,
verse 17.
He says, Now the Lord is Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What does this suggest, friends? Those of us who've been here in this country for long, who lived under the old regime, we fought for something that we called freedom, liberty. We had movements called liberation movements, like the ANC and other parties like the PAC and so on. What is the point? What is the point, friend? There was oppression. We needed to be set free. In the same way, where the Spirit of Christ is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of Christ is not, there is oppression. Look at your Bible. It says they brought those who were oppressed. They needed to be set free. Listen to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Luke chapter 4, verse
18.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. Friends, liberty to the captives. That is what we see here. For you to be set free, need Jesus. His word. He says here, he casted out this demon with the word. Friends, it is also evident in Luke chapter number 11. I want you to see there the power of the word of God. There Jesus is talking about his power over Satan. He explains his power over Satan and the evil spirit. He's saying there that once he cleanses somebody from sin, or once he delivers someone from demon possession, that person is set free. As long as that person continues with him, he will always be set free. But listen to verse number 27, Luke chapter 11. As Jesus said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast at which you nursed." But listen to the answer of the Lord Jesus Christ to the woman.
Verse 28.
But Jesus said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Jesus is delivering people from demons. Jesus is healing the sick. A woman says, "Blessed is the woman who bore you and the breast in which we have nursed." Jesus says, "No, blessed rather are those who hear and keep the word of God."
Yes, sir.
The word of God. That's all that we need. The word of God is all that our friends and family need to be set free from any oppression of any spirit. So church, as we consider the demon activities of this world, as we look at the demon activities taking place upon those who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, please be always reminded, you have nothing to worry about. If you have come to Jesus, if you have been to Jesus for the cleansing power, if you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, if your soul is ready for the coming of the Lord, you have nothing to worry about. Therefore, church, I am confident there will never be a person in this church who will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, born of the Spirit, and demonized. Impossible. Why? We preach the gospel in this church and the captives are set free. Did you get that? Nothing to worry about. We don't have to worry about some fight which is already won. The battle that is already won in the Lord Jesus Christ. Only in those gospel-less churches there will be those who are demon possessed. I'm talking in general. If you find a church with people with demons with them and claiming to be Christians, it is because there is no word of God there. So what we see from this text before us, friends, is the power of Christ and the irresistible power of the word of God. The oppressed are set free. They are set free and never to be oppressed again. They are set free and never to be possessed by the spirit of darkness again. Jesus prevailed over demons, friends. And he prevails even today. What does this tell you about Jesus? Because it's all about Jesus. This is the Son of God. This is the most powerful figure in the world. No power of hell, no schemes of men can pluck you away from this power of Christ. He alone set the captives free. But secondly, we see here that Jesus also prevailed over all sicknesses. This is very important that we separate demon possession and sickness. Not every person who is sick out there is demon possessed. Not every sickness out there we must blame it to the demons and the devils. But there is no sickness out there that can stand the power of Jesus. But I want us to read verse number
18.
It says in verse 18, this casting out of demons, this healing of the sick, it was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illness and he bore our diseases.
Friends,
nothing can be of great encouragement today than knowing that Jesus Christ is our physician. Knowing that the Bible tells us that he went out through all Galilee, healing all kinds of diseases, set free those who were kept by spirits. Healing every disease and affliction among the people. So now we see here that under God's divine inspiration, the Apostle Matthew is writing to us. He says, these things that took place in the life of Christ was to fulfill something that the prophets have spoken about. And that is important for us to go through this morning. Matthew is quoting Isaiah, who wrote about Jesus 700 years before Jesus was born. Praise the Lord. Turn to Isaiah chapter
53.
I want us to read that verse which Matthew is quoting, which is verse number 4. Isaiah 53 verse 4. The whole of Isaiah is speaking about Jesus. That he was pierced for our transgressions. That it pleased God to crush him. That the chastisement that brought us peace was laid upon him. That he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. They made his grave with the wicked.
The dangerous thing is when a guy who does not understand Sotho begins to interpret Sotho. That is me. That's very dangerous. Okay, friends. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4.
Isaiah 53, verse 4.
And another dangerous thing is when you see a Nigerian guy singing Sotho. That man was singing Sotho today. I was like, ah, you know what? Yeah, praise the Lord. Anyway, Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted.
Friends,
these are the words the apostle Matthew is quoting for us, saying they were speaking of Jesus. Going through the Gospel of Matthew, we have seen, friends, in the past that there are so many other scriptures referring to the Lord Jesus Christ from the Old Testament, that this is the Messiah who was to come into the world. Friends, the point here, that Jesus healed all those who were sick. It is not to give us some kind of promise that we'll be healed. Matthew is saying, this is revealing to us that this is the man who has to come into the world. It is a sign that God has given before that you will see the Messiah when he comes by his ministry of healing. Jesus is the promised Messiah. He is the King who has to come into the world. The King who has to come and overturn the kingdom of darkness by the power of the gospel. The gospel which will gradually fill the whole earth. Through these works of the Lord Jesus Christ, the believers begins to realize that indeed God is in control. There is no power of Satan. There is nothing that is on the loose. God is in control. God is in the midst of his people. And he has promised that, friends. There are beautiful words that I want to read for you, if you don't mind. Listen to this promise of God about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Isaiah 40, verse 1 to 5.
Comfort, comfort my people, says the Lord. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended. That her iniquity is pardoned. That she had received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. Her voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert the highway for our God. Well, I'll stop there from now. Why am I saying this is beautiful? I didn't read this verse 5. God is promising comfort to an oppressed people, afflicted people, saying, friends,
when the Messiah comes, he will bring comfort to those who are afflicted. He will bring encouragement to those who are discouraged. He will bring healing to those who are sick. And Matthew says, this is what the Lord did, displayed before us in that evening after he healed Peter's mother-in-law. Comfort has come.
Friends,
comfort has come. Healing has come in the Lord Jesus Christ. What we need to consider here, friends, is then Jesus did not come into this world to battle spirits. He didn't come to fight against demons. You can see what is the problem. Every time the Bible speaks of sickness, it speaks also of sin.
So
it was sin's entry into this world that brought illness and suffering. Sin brought in this world death. It brought despair and perplexity. But here, at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, we have received liberty. That is the picture we see in Matthew chapter
8.
Jesus came to bring liberty. The Apostle Peter wrote about 20 years before Matthew wrote. 20 years before Matthew wrote, Peter writes and he quotes the very same words of the prophet Isaiah. It's like Peter is standing on top of the mountain truth, looking back into the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking back at the work of Christ. We read just now, but what Peter is doing is, he's saying, our hope, our comfort, our healing is not into something that is to come. Our dependence, or we do not depend in something that is still to come. But our hope, our healing, our freedom, our liberty is grounded on something that has already taken place. It has taken place in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not looking forward. We're looking backwards. When we get sick, we're not looking forward. We look back. Christ hanging on the cross, hanging there for my liberty. When I get sick, I'm not hopeful that some man from Nigeria will come next year, or somebody's going to give me grass and petrol. Look back. Friends, I'm not talking wrong about people, I'm not mentioning names. The way we look back at the cross, the truth must be told. The cross, the work of Jesus Christ. That's where our freedom is. Look what Peter says. Just to give you that verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse
24.
2. Verse 24. Peter says, he himself, speaking of Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live righteous. He says, by his wounds, listen carefully, you have been healed. Friends, please listen carefully. By his wounds, he doesn't say like Isaiah, who looked forward to the coming of Jesus and say, by his wound you are healed. He's saying, by his wound you were healed, pointing back. If you are in Christ, by his wounds, you have been
healed.
So what Matthew reveals to us that Christ's healing ministry was but a sign that the kingdom of God had come. Of course, friends, there is a connection here between physical healing and spiritual healing in what Matthew is bringing to us. Again, we do not deny that Jesus heals today. But that is what this is not what this is about. This is about revealing to us the greatest man, the stronger man, that Jesus is the Son of God. Looking at his work. So since I'm saying then that there is no healing ministry actually this day, there is nobody that has been given by God and says, you will be the healer, nobody. Since I'm saying so, how do we deal with our sickness today? I'm going to repeat. We've been saying this. James chapter 5, verse 14.
Jacobo, chapter 5.
If anyone among you is sick, let him come for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord.
Jacobo, okay.
Friends, the point I want to bring to you. God is still doing miraculous healings today. He is doing so by using the elders of the church as they pray for the sick. But he does so according to his will and grace. There is no promise in the scriptures that anyone who comes to Jesus will be healed. But God is gracious to grant unto us even physical healing. Listen to what John chapter 5 verse 36 says, telling us that Jesus came to bear testimony about the Father. Jesus says that the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I'm doing bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. Why are we reading that? Miraculous work of Christ were only done so that Christ can bear witness that the Father has sent him. Today we know that the Father has sent him. He doesn't have to do any miracle to prove that the Father has sent him. He doesn't have to heal you to prove that the Father has sent him.
But he can heal you to prove that he's a compassionate and kind God. I love this one. John 6 verse 14. He says that when the people saw the signs, meaning the work that Jesus had done, they said to him, "This indeed is the prophet who was to come into the world." Friends, again, the works of Christ was to prove that this is the man who was to come into the world. Matthew says, "Indeed it is so." The prophet spoke in that way. That is how we need to look at the healing ministry of Jesus Christ. Not as a promise to this generation in any way, but that the Son of God had come into the world. But as I'm coming to closure, but maybe you have heard other people say there's healing in the blood of Jesus. They like to say those words. They even sing songs that is healing in the blood of Jesus. What they are trying to say there is that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he deliberately died and guaranteed physical healing to all believers. That is not true. It's just a song made by men, words. But when Jesus died on the cross, he guaranteed to all believers spiritual healing. That is guaranteed. That you can claim. He says, "Lord, you said if I believe in you, you can save me." There is no way you say to the Lord, "Lord, you said if I believe in you, you will heal me," because there is no verse that says that. So what are you supposed to take home from these two verses? Satan's dominion on earth has come to an end, friends. And ultimately, all his activities will also come to an end at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can rejoice then that God has overcome all evil. We can rejoice, friends, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We can rejoice, friends, that Jesus is mightier than Satan. Therefore, we don't need power of our own to overcome any evil. You already have it in Christ. All you need is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. All you need is to cry unto God, "Save me, Lord, lest I perish." All you need and all that your friends need is to cling to the old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Friends, if you have not believed in the Lord, come to Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Believe in your heart that he came into this world to set you free. If you didn't know how to help your friends who are demon possessed and they need help and they go up and down to all these demon hunters, friends, tell them you need Jesus. As for you, my friends, we have believed in Christ. You don't need to follow these demon chasers. There is nothing happening there. The victory belongs to us in Christ. We have victory already. Jesus prevailed over demons. He prevailed today. He will prevail tomorrow. Jesus prevailed over all sickness. So if you want true freedom, you need to find that freedom in Christ Jesus through the power of His weight. The Lord bless you. Let's pray.
Thank you, O Lord, to know that indeed we have defeated Satan, we have defeated sin, and indeed, O Lord, we have defeated death, that we can trust in you, O Lord, even today, that we who are in you, O Lord, we do not have to look over our shoulders, we do not have to worry because of demons, we do not have to go to some places where apparently there's men who have healing powers or men who have powers over demons, but indeed, O Lord, because we are in you, that we have found freedom. We are free indeed. You have given us freedom from demons. You have given us freedom from sin. That sin shall no longer rule over our lives. That we can trust in you, O Lord. That we can go to your word, O Lord, and find the power that we need. Help us, O Lord, as your people. Help those, O Lord, who are lost, going from different places, O Lord, looking to be delivered. May they see, O Lord, that there is deliverance through your word. That when they believe, O Lord, in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will be delivered. Be with us, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together and sing hymn number 44.
Jesus is the Emmanuel.